The organist obviously determined to have her slot. Well, good morning and welcome to you all. It's good to see so many people here with us in the church, and a welcome also to those who are watching and sharing with our worship online this morning. And of course, a very warm welcome again to Reverend Maurice Smith, our own Reverend Maurice Smith, who is conducting the service for us again this morning. Looking through the week, the first event we have is the barbecue at St. Margaret's Hall in Urquhart at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Don't let the precipitation this morning dampen your spirits. There was some blue sky up there as well, and we hope and pray that the blue sky will expand and grow till 5 o'clock and beyond. But do come along, if you're able to come along and join us at 5 o'clock and St. Margaret's Hall. It's a family event, so there'll be games for kids and a chance for us just to chat and share together. Wednesday, we have our prayer slot at 1 o'clock. And just maybe mention a couple of things for your prayers. Obviously, Breda and Francie and the family are very much in our prayers just now. But many of you will know, some of you don't know, I'm sure, that we are hoping shortly to appoint an admin assistant to assist with the work of the congregation. And that's something that will happen within the next 2 or 3 weeks. So pray for those who are involved in making that decision and for the person who will take up that post in due course. And then on Wednesday evening, we have our midweek chat session, as usual, at 7:30. Next Sunday, we are having our first After the Summer Connect and our first in-person Connect since the start of the COVID pandemic. Now, there are still restrictions, so we can't quite do things the way we did in the past. We will meet in the church hall at 9:30. We'll have to observe social distance and wear masks, I'm afraid. And unfortunately, we can't serve breakfast. So if you want some breakfast, either have it before you come or bring it with you. You could call in at McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever you like on the way out and bring your breakfast with you. So we're going to be looking at the person of Timothy, and how his family helped grow his faith. So it's a kind of family focus, and there's activities for youngsters available. It would be helpful if you could contact Fiona Cumming, if you're planning to be there, contact Fiona in advance, and that will just help us to know how to put out the chairs to get the appropriate groupings and social distance that we need to observe. The next two Sundays, Maurice is not going to be with us. I thought Maurice was going on holiday, and I spoke to him last week and said he'd be ready for your holiday, but he's not getting a holiday. He's got a prior engagement to do two Sundays in Lossiemouth. So for the first two Sundays in February, David Sim is going to be conducting our services for us. David Sim, you will remember, memorably took one of our online services for us back last year. He's a trainee minister. He lives in the Forres area, and he will take our services next Sunday and the following one. And normally, the first Sunday in September would be a communion service, but as David is still a trainee and not yet ordained, he's not able to conduct communion. But we do look forward to having a communion service in due course, as normal here in the church, with Breda conducting it when the time comes. And finally, just a brief update. Breda had his operation on Monday, as you know. All the reports are suggesting that things have gone at least as well as could be expected, if not better. And the reports from the doctors is that things have gone well. They're very pleased with his progress. Obviously, he's got a way to go yet, but we're grateful that things have gone as well as they have, and we continue to pray for Breda and Francie and the family. Thank you.
Let us worship God. We begin by singing together as our introit the first verse of hymn 189. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. 189, verse 1. Mm-hmm. Can I invite you to join with me in our readings, one from the book of Deuteronomy and the other from the book of Leviticus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The hymn number 608, to the tune Down Ampney, Spirit of Truth and Grace, come to us in this place. As now in Jesus' name God's people gather, open our eyes to see truth that will ever be, and in communion draw us close together. The hymn 608, to the tune Down Ampney. Almighty and eternal Lord God, in this time of worship, help us to be still in body and mind and spirit, that we might know your presence with us, that we might know again that you are our holy God, nearer to each one of us than we dare imagine. For in you we live and move and have our being. Grant that we might worship with fitting reverence and awe at the wonder of your holiness. And in this familiar place, where generations have come to worship, to know your presence and love, we affirm again that we stand on holy ground, because you are present with us now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, grant us stillness of mind and spirit, that we can honestly remember the past week before you. We rejoice where we have been aware of your presence and have known the touch and prompting of your Holy Spirit to guide and correct us. We remember and confess before you where we have forgotten your presence, when we have been too busy, too preoccupied to be still and listen for that still small voice to calm us, correct us, and guide us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, hear us as we remember and confess before you the times we have been too busy with our own affairs that we have missed the needs of others. When we have failed to listen properly, when we have rushed by on the other side. With shame, we remember the times we could have helped and didn't. The times we could have listened and didn't. The times we could have been more sensitive and aware and weren't. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, and in your grace, grant us your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Father, as we begin this new week, teach us how to be more still in mind and spirit, that we might listen more attentively, see more clearly, and respond more willingly to the needs of others. For we ask it in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as a community of his people, we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, it's good to see so many youngsters here again. The old jokes are the best ones. Today, I thought I would tell you a story. Stories are always good. It's a story about a man who one morning got up and decided that there was something he just had to find. He didn't think it was in his hometown, so he took a train into the city. On the train, he got talking to a lady who shared her sandwiches with him, and they had a very friendly chat throughout the whole journey. He arrived in the city, a busy station, with folk rushing everywhere to get where they wanted to go, folk standing in line for a taxi and folk rushing off to get buses. And he was standing looking at his map, looking for the way to the center of town. Actually, this happened to Jan and I in Paris when our first trip to Paris. We came out off Eurostar at the Gare du Nord and we thought we know exactly where we're going, how to get to our hotel. So we shot out the door of the station and down the road. Only trouble is we'd come out the wrong door. And we were heading in entirely the wrong direction. The other thing that had gone wrong was that, you know the suitcases you have with the wee wheels on them? That's what we had. When you're going through an airport and you go up those escalators and along those runways and things, the wee wheel just gave up the ghost. So we saw a shop, went in, and the guy came out to the suitcase and he put a trolley underneath it and bungeed it to the trolley, and off I gaily, having paid him, off I gaily went pulling my new trolley. The chap was very, very helpful. Anyway, to get back to our story, chap was standing looking at his map with all these folk rushing past him, and they thought, what am I going to do? And then a young chap stopped and said, you look, are you lost? Well, he said, I'm looking for the bus to the centre of town. Oh, he says, you get it round the corner. Come on, I'll show you. So he took him round the corner, showed him, looked up on the chart, which bus, that's the bus you get. Ask the driver to tell you when you get to the centre of town. So we got the bus, asked the driver to shout when I get to centre of town, which the driver willingly did. So he got off the bus in the middle of town. In town, he visited the library, the museum, the art gallery. They had all kinds of hints that he was for the thing he was looking for, but he still didn't think he'd found it. Then he was walking down the street, and they saw an elderly lady standing on the curb in the traffic. She was not quite sure when she was going to get across the road, so he asked if he could help, and he saw her across the road. She was so grateful. She said, "Thank you so much for your kindness." And a wee light went off in his head, because you know what he'd been looking for? Kindness. And he suddenly discovered that actually it was all around him. And it wasn't some big thing that he could take and say, "There's kindness." It was all the little things that folk do for one another and the way they help one another. You can find it in Lanbride, we can find it in Elgin, we can even find it in Paris, like John and I. All over the world, we can find acts of kindness, and every day there are acts of kindness that we can do. It's not something we can grasp or hold on to, it's something we can do and something we can receive. The next hymn is about exactly that. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all, and it's the hymn 351 to the tune Au Clair de la Lune. For young folk, you sing very well. Isabel Spence will read for us from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the familiar story of the Good Samaritan.
The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Isabel. The hymn number 600, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove. 600 to the tune Skyboat Song. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight today, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's nothing like a good debate or discussion or even an argument, is there? When Jan first encountered a get-together with my family in Edinburgh, she was amazed at how wide-ranging and how loud our family discussions could become. Everything from politics to religion, football to history, motor cars, railway engines, everyone putting in their tuppence worth, which was a bit of a shock for Jan, a quiet lass from the country. In today's gospel, a teacher of the law came to test Jesus' interpretation of the Jewish law, at which the man was an expert. But he began with a strange question. Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? A testing question by which he wanted Jesus to expound the scriptures and define what the lawyer needed to do to gain eternal life. And by implication, what he could get away with not doing. He wanted Jesus to enter into a debate about the moral and legal requirements for eternal life as Jesus interpreted the scriptures. However, Jesus was not so easily tricked. He cleverly redirected the question to the expert in the law. What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them? In answer, the lawyer summarized the Jewish law by drawing on two books of the Old Testament. Two books of the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Books of Torah, meaning law or instruction. And first, the lawyer quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And with all your mind. And then he quoted from the book of Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. The lawyer quoted the commandments to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself as a summary of the law. And Jesus told them that that is what he needed to do to receive eternal life. But the lawyer wanted more. He assumed that, of course, he fulfilled the first one. He was no doubt a learned religious man devoted to his prayers, his religious observance, albeit with a good conceit of himself. But as a lawyer, and apologies to any lawyers who are here, as a lawyer of the Jewish law, he saw a question that he might debate with Jesus. Luke says he wanted to justify himself. Perhaps he wanted to extend the encounter by getting Jesus to engage in a religious debate in which the lawyer could show his own expertise and trap Jesus into the definition that he hadn't given. So he asked a question, and who is my neighbor? Sounds a simple question, but it's actually quite clever, because by it the lawyer was asking Jesus to define the limits of who he should count as a neighbor. The law said that he should love his neighbor as himself, but it didn't define the limits of that statement, which meant that it could include everyone. But he wanted Jesus to give a tighter definition, a more manageable instruction, one that set reasonable limits on neighbor. And the rabbis had been arguing and debating this endlessly. Who could be excluded from the scope of that commandment? Something we can all understand, isn't it? We all set limits, don't we? We include the folks we know best as neighbors, family, friends, folks who live near us in the village, people we meet who might need help. We might even include visitors and strangers at times, but we all have lines, don't we? So where do we draw the line and set the limits on who is a neighbor? In answer to the lawyer's question, Jesus told him the parable that we all know as the Good Samaritan. And like all Jesus' parables, this story is based on what his hearers would have known. For a start, it was known that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a dangerous road because the risk of being set on by bandits and thieves. I can imagine that as soon as Jesus began to tell the story, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Oh, aye, we know about that road. What? I don't know why he was going that road on his own. That was a bit silly. And they would have anticipated what was coming next when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And they might even have thought, what a fool to travel that road on his own. So the scene for the story was set. The lawyers and other waited to see where the story was going. Hooray! Help was coming! A priest was coming down the road. He would stop and help, surely. But he didn't. He passed by on the other side. Then a little while later, another holy man came. Surely this was help coming now. A Levite came along. But he didn't help either. He passed by on the other side as well. Then a Samaritan came by. He saw the man and he took pity on him. He went to the man, he gave him first aid, he put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn and made arrangements for his continuing care. Now this is a story we've heard so many times. The story hangs on many different things. First of all, the victim was stripped and beaten and left half dead. It meant there was nothing to identify him. Was he a Jew or a Samaritan? Was he a fellow countryman? Was he a foreigner? We don't know what he was. He was simply a man, the description with which Jesus began the parable. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. But But as the parable tells us, this man who was attacked, beaten, and left naked and bleeding and dying, we don't know who or what he was. He was simply a human being in need of help. However, help didn't come from those from whom you would expect it, because it wasn't the devout or holy men coming down from the temple who came to his aid. It wasn't even a kindly Jewish man, but a hated Samaritan, because Jews and Samaritans hated one another. They had centuries upon centuries of division and hatred. They would be more likely to spit and shout insults when they met than anything else when they met on the road. It must have shocked and affronted the lawyer and the Jews who heard this story that it was a hated and detested Samaritan who took pity on the man and helped him. But the important thing for us to notice is the subtle way that Jesus' story changed the lawyer's question. And with changing that question, he changed the whole way of looking at things. The lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor? Who can I count as neighbor?" But after telling the parable, Jesus asked a similar but very different question. Which one of these three acted as a neighbor towards the man attacked by robbers? The questions moved from one that seeks to define and limit who's to be counted as neighbor to what it means to be a neighbor to anyone in need. Because the parable has no limits or lines in the sand. The neighbor is anyone who is in need, and the question is no longer, who is my neighbor? But how can I be neighbor to everyone I meet? And that was to change the rules, ethic of rules about who's to be counted a neighbor, to the ethics of love, by which everyone is seen as a potential neighbor. It is to understand that eternal life isn't won by meticulously keeping rules and regulation with clauses that can exclude certain folks as they pleased, but to look at the whole thing in an entirely different way, a way that sees God's, the love of God and love of your neighbor as life in the kingdom of God here and now, already begun on earth. Today we live in a world which is rapidly putting up barriers and setting limits. Sometimes these are physical barriers, like the wall that President Trump began along the southern border of the United States, or the fence that Greece has erected recently to keep out Afghan refugees, or the wall that exists between Palestinians and Israel in Israel-Palestine, the barbed wire around refugee camps, the walls and wire of detention centres in Britain for asylum seekers, refugees, migrants. There are many, many more barriers being put up. In fact, too many to mention. But you know, all these barriers begin in hearts that seek to keep people segregated by nationality, by creed, by class, by colour, gender, language, religion, culture, or history. Limits on neighborliness which spring from hearts that have failed to live out that commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that as you love yourself, these words are apparently stuck on the end. They, in fact, are central to the whole thing, because they ask us to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, to ask what we would want for ourselves if we were homeless or stateless, if we were anxious or in prison, if we were hungry, naked, and poor. How would we want to be treated? Even if it were our own fault and caused by our own foolishness, what would we want for ourselves if we were in that situation? Love your neighbor as you love yourselves. This parable makes it clear that there are no limits on who is our neighbor. The victim in the story was naked, bleeding, and dying, simply a human being in need. And it wasn't the pious holy priest who helped him, but a despised and hated Samaritan. He was the only one with the humanity to take pity on him. The only one who saw his need and responded in compassion and kindness. And this familiar story invites us to have that same pity, that same kindness for others, regardless of whether they live next door to us or are on the other side of the world. Whether they're people we know or whether they're people we will never meet, whether they're people we like and get on with or people we find impossible. Whether victims of circumstance or those suffering from their own folly. Because the question is no longer, who is my neighbor? But it becomes, how good a neighbor am I to others? How can I love others as much as I love myself? I'd like to conclude with an amended version of this parable. It goes like this. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Hours passed as the sun beat down on the man, who grew steadily weaker and weaker. But still, no one came to his aid. This version of the parable is called The Missing Samaritan. Surely a challenge to all of us to help those in trouble and in need of help, and never to be that missing Samaritan. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The teacher of the law was obliged to answer Jesus, the one who was kind to him. And Jesus replied, you go then and do the same. To God's name be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen. When I needed a neighbor, were you there? Were you there? When I needed a neighbor, were you there? And the creed and the color and the name won't matter. Were you there? 544. Helen will lead us in our prayers of thanks and intercession.
We come to you in prayer, Lord, for ourselves, our church, our community, and all your children on this earth that you created. We pray for ourselves and the church using the words of Paul. Let our roots grow down in Christ, and let our lives be built on him. We thank you that our faith will grow strong in your truth, and we will overflow with thankfulness and praise. You, Lord, created this world and us in your likeness to praise you and magnify you. Lord, you know every person who walks this earth, burdened by sin and its consequences, and those who through no fault of their own suffer pain, rejection, indignity, violence, and warfare. At this time in our world, Lord, when there is so much pain, we can feel powerless, afraid, defeated, and despairing. But we believe in you, and you give us the power of prayer. You, Lord, give us the privilege of involving us in prayer and showing us what you want us to do. Lord God, our focus has very much been on Afghanistan, but the following prayer, written by Romani Luthard, Christian Aid head of region for the Southeast Asia and Afghanistan's prayer, reflects God's compassion for all the people of this world. O God of mercy and peace, be living bread to those who are hungry each day. Be healing and wholeness to those who have no access to health care amidst the ravages of the pandemic. Be the true home to all that have been displaced. Be the open arms of loving acceptance to those who fear because of their gender, ethnicity, religious and political views. Be peace to those engaged in armed conflict and those who live under its shadow. Turn our hearts and minds to ways of just and gentle peace. Open our eyes to see you in all acts of compassionate care. Strengthen our hearts to step out in solidarity with your suffering people. Hold us all in your unfailing love. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who'd emptied himself of all but love in order to bring life in all its fullness. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Alan. Before I came in, someone said to me, push the barbecue, advertise the barbecue. So I thought just before the end of the service, I would remind you of the barbecue at 5 o'clock this evening at St. Margaret's in Urquhart, Church Hall in Urquhart, and I'm sure it'll be great fun. Just think about the sausages and the... Oh, never mind, we won't go there. Anyway. 5 o'clock this evening. We sing a love that sets all people free, that blows like wind, that burns like scorching flame, enfolds the earth, springs up like water clear. Come, living love, live in our hearts today. The hymn 622 to the tune Woodlands.
Thank you.
now may the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you, remain with you, and with all those you love, now and forevermore.